And turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5, excuse me. 1 Kings chapter 5, and we'll be reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 18. First Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. And this is the word of the Lord to us, his people. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon. When he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father, for Hiram had always been a friend to David. Then Solomon sent word to Hiram, saying, "You know that David, my father, was unable to build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the wars which surrounded him. And so the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune. Behold, I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to David my father, saying, 'Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he will build the house for my name.' Now therefore command that they cut for me cedars from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will give you wages for your servants according to all that you say, for you know that there is no one among us who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians." When Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord today, who has given to David a wise son over this great people." So Hiram sent word to Solomon, saying, "I have heard the message which you have sent me. I will do what you desire concerning the cedar and the cypress timber. My servants will bring them down from Lebanon to the sea, and I will make them into rafts to go by sea to the place where you direct me, and I will have them broken up there, and you shall carry them away. Then you shall accomplish my desire by giving food to my household." So Hiram gave Solomon as much as he desired for the cedar and cypress timber. Solomon then gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household and 20 cores of beaten oil. Thus Solomon would give Hiram year by year. The Lord gave wisdom to Solomon, just as he promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a covenant. Now King Solomon levied forced labor from all Israel, and the forced laborers numbered 30,000 men. He sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month in relays. They were in Lebanon a month and 2 months at home. And Adoniram was over the forced laborers. Now Solomon had 70,000 transporters and 80,000 hewers of stone in the mountains, beside Solomon's 3,300 chief deputies who were over the project and who ruled over the people who were doing the work. Then the king commanded, and they quarried great stones, costly stones, to lay the foundation of the house with cut stones. So Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders and the Gebalites cut them and prepared the timbers and the stones to build the house. And that is the word of the Lord. And so chapter 5 begins what is the next couple of chapters of the building of the temple of Yahweh. And so what do we learn about the building of the temple? First, the preparation of the temple confirms Yahweh's promises. When we see that in verses 1 through 6. Solomon's words actually show that he's quoting from the scriptures from 2 Samuel 7 when Yahweh spoke to David about building the temple. And so because Yahweh has brought about David's son as he had promised to the throne, because there is peace in all of Israel, upon these conditions, Solomon is thoroughly convinced that it's time to go ahead and build the temple. And so it is Yahweh's promises that drive Solomon's building project. It drives what he does in his life. And the real foundation of the temple does not consist of large stones, as it talks about at the end of the chapter there, but upon the promise of Yahweh to show forth his presence among his people. So we learn the kingdom promises, encourage kingdom work. If we are to send out, if we are to be sent out to do kingdom work each Lord's day, as we are we are called to do throughout the week, then we must take hold of Yahweh's promises. Yahweh's promises have to be the foundation of how we live. To say it another way, eschatology. Eschatology drives our ministry. It's because of Yahweh's promises that we remain on our feet and do not lose heart. The second thing we see is a foretaste of the future. And here the Gentile nations are taking part in the building of the temple and kingdom work. People from all over, even outside of Israel, were coming to Solomon for wisdom, just like Hiram. And so we have here a foretaste of what is to come based on the promises of the Lord, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in verses 9 to the end, there's a lot of giving going on, especially we see it in verses 10 through 12. Hiram giving to Solomon, Solomon giving to Hiram. But verse 12, we have this emphatic, Yahweh gave wisdom to Solomon, just as he promised him. There is wisdom from the Lord, continual wisdom being given to Solomon. Wisdom to raise up and organize this labor force. And so this chapter is really an organization chapter and the pouring out of the wisdom of the Lord through Solomon of organizing the people to build this temple. And what a blessing to work for Solomon. What great wisdom. And men here, there's a description here, men would take turns, 1 month working and 2 months at home with family. And so we see the administration, the organization, the delegation involved in assembling and directing the temple labor force. The arrangements for obtaining stone and wood. All of this flows out of the wisdom of Yahweh that He has given to Solomon. And so, beloved, even here what seems might be a somewhat boring chapter in Scripture about the building, or at least the preparation, it's not even the building, but it's the preparations for the building, the organizing of the preparations. Yahweh bears witness to His firm promise, His kingdom, of His coming kingdom and His necessary wisdom. And so let us pray concerning these things. Our Father, we do thank You for Your promises which are true, which are firm. We thank You for how You are continually faithful to Your promises here. You made a promise in 2 Samuel 7. We see it coming and starting to come to fruition through Solomon coming to the throne. There's peace all around Israel. There's no war going on, no enemies that Solomon had. Everyone was coming to him for wisdom. And here, as Solomon has come to the throne, there's peace. We know that You promised that there would be that he would build the temple. The son of David would build the temple. And here we see the beginning of that. And so we thank You for Your promises, which again we see You showing Yourself to be faithful. And You're faithful to all the promises that You've made in Scripture. And the ones that You even make to us and that we take part in. You are continually faithful. And so we have no reason to fret, to lose heart, because we know that You will accomplish all that You have set out to do. For You are God. And Your plan from before the foundation of the world will come to fruition. That Jesus will return. And the second coming, that we will see Him, that we will be with Him forever and ever. That though we might not truly and fully understand what it is to see You face to face. And what it is to be in Your presence as the temple showed forth and foreshadowed. Father, we long to be in Your presence even now. We ask that You would give us that glimpse of that presence that You have by Your Spirit within us, that You are continually with us, as You promised at Pentecost, You promised before that Jesus did, and even into the Old Testament prophecies in Joel and other places. Father, we thank You that You are firm in Your promises. We thank You for Your coming kingdom, the kingdom that first that we are partaking of now on this earth, and the kingdom of heaven. And Father, we do praise You that You have given this great wisdom through Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You've given us the Word and shown us not only in the Old Testament Scriptures, but in the New Testament Scriptures, how to live as a believer, as a follower of Christ, that we are called to live holy lives in Christ Jesus, righteous, to be sanctified, to be humble in all things, just as Christ, who did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but even came to this earth and became man. Father, we thank you that we have not only the example of true godly wisdom, but we have the commandments as well, and the description of godly wisdom too. And so, Father, we ask that you would be glorified in all these things, that you would work in us by your Spirit to put and implement these this wisdom of skill and living into our lives, that into our hearts, that out of our hearts our mouths would speak, out of our hearts our bodies would act, and we would think, and everything that we do would be based in the pouring out of our heart. That which is in our heart, we ask, is true godly wisdom, would be. And that you would implant your word there, even this evening, as we've heard your word in 1 Kings, but even as we hear in John in a moment. Father, we praise you. We thank you that you're a God who heals your people, for you're the healer. And so we would ask that you would heal your people this evening. And so we pray for Larry, who is unable to be here this evening because of the treatments he's gone through this past week. We ask that you would be with him and remind him of the presence of the Lord that is with him by your Spirit. We ask that you would encourage him in Christ. We ask that you would be with Bob and Marie and Sharon and Dina and others who are still healing. We pray even for Mary Ashley, who will have surgery in a short time from now, and to further heal her leg, and ask that you would care for her and provide for her. And Father, be with all of us. Protect us as our King. Provide for us as our King. And save us from our sins as our priest. And Father, now we ask that you prepare us for the hearing of the word and even the singing of the word right now, for you are our prophet. And these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.